All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for. We're back off the road show and in the Gal Media studios where we will be for the next 3 hours. Hopefully you will be as well as you take us along for the ride wherever you are in the big city. Fellas, what is going on?
What up?
Nick, you have to be thoroughly exhausted. You've already put in a full shift and now you've got to sit through our stuff.
Full of shift.
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I was disciplined. I went to sleep early, got some sleep. I'm good.
Oh, I see how it is.
You should try that on a consistent basis. So, it'll do wonders
no,
for you.
No. Hold on. So you go to sleep early and not stay up all night partying when you're going to do Palillo's show. But when it's our show, you don't care. You're just like, yeah, I can go in whenever. I can mail it in. Is that the vibe I'm getting?
No, it's the fact that I know 1 o'clock allows me to sleep in more that tempts me to drink at night. But when I have to be here at 11... There ain't no messing around with that.
So you're basically saying you fall asleep at 1 o'clock every day.
No, I'm saying I'm fresh by 1 o'clock because I drink all the time and I get enough sleep to, you know, I get enough rest.
What time do you normally get up to be at our show?
Like 9:30, 10?
Tell the truth.
9:30, 10, honestly.
Barry, he's not you.
Tell the truth.
Of the three of us, there's no doubt you're the leader in the clubhouse.
Listen,
you get up at 11
up,
something.
Joel, okay, I'm doing bad. Something.
Sorry, go ahead.
God, you guys, why aren't you? I'm trying to throw this dude under the bus, and here I look back, and there's a bus coming at me, and it's you pointing out how late I sleep.
It's bus wars.
I'm just like, you'll be refreshed and ready for Palillo.
Well, I didn't want to sound, I mean, I took Tylenol PM. I wanted to make sure I was out.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I never take Tylenol PM.
Now,
ever.
You and I are doing the show together on Thursday.
Correct.
Are you going to go out and party Wednesday night?
Sure.
Yeah, probably. Because I don't have to be here at 11. I don't have to be here at 11. That's how it works.
I got to talk to AJ.
About what?
Getting somebody else. If you're not going to give me the full Charlie Palillo effect.
Don't talk to AJ. But, I did. You know what I had to do just to get that slot?
Did it involve de-panting him?
No, it did not.
Oh, it did not. It didn't involve any kind of sexual favor whatsoever?
No, it did not.
Because that's the kind of boss he is.
I'm not going to reveal what it took, but yeah, it wasn't easy.
Jeez.
I don't even want to know.
No, I don't either.
That was
the
headed.
Door open or shut? Because, jeez.
Wow. Which door, the front or the back?
Good question. Fair question, actually. Jeez.
No, but that's the reason why. I have more time to rest for your...
Let's be honest.
That's why I'm always fresh when I come to the show.
You're full of it because the bottom line is when you fill in for Charlie,
yeah,
that's a resume tape and that's all you, 100% you for 2 hours. That's why you're bringing it in high gear as opposed to,
yeah,
you get a little bit more in coast mode when you know that you feel like it, you can take a segment off.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
We get like 70% Nick. The Palillites get 100% Nick.
And I'm sure they're 150% pleased with it. Yeah, Jose wasn't afraid to like get within 5 feet of a microphone today. I like that.
Yeah, Jose was extra chatty with Charlie.
I've done a bunch of shows with Jose, so like so many of them. Like Jose's produced probably 10 of my shows solo.
Yeah,
yeah. Like he always talks on the show.
Now, do you like doing the show by yourself or do you like having a co-host?
I like both. I like both.
Which one do you like more?
Sometimes I appreciate having the freedom of choosing what I can talk about and not having to worry about it. And I'm pretty sure you guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
Why do I feel this bus coming at me from behind?
I'm not throwing the windshield, and I feel a bus coming from behind. I'm not.
I couldn't wait for you to finish the sentence so I could say, boy, and then look at Joe, and he side-eyed me like hard.
Already knew it was coming, yep.
So good.
No, I'm here.
That was awesome.
I'm here. No, not right? Like James, I'm here.
Oh, that was good stuff. But yeah, you sounded good, man.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah.
I turned it on and I was like, no, that's not a small small man. That's Nick.
Oh. Palillo's out today and tomorrow. Cody Stutes, like I said earlier, is filling in tomorrow. So check that out.
Stutes is doing it tomorrow, and then when we're both gone on Friday, Stutes is doing our show.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
What's up with all the solo stuff? I thought that ESPN, more than any other station, was very, two host driven.
Interactive. Like, with the
yeah,
host.
And I know Charlie. Look, Charlie is the exception. He's grandfathered in, literally grandfathered in, because he's been doing it for so long solo, and it never worked out. Like if Lance and Charlie can't get along together, and I don't know if they got along or not, then it's never going to work with Charlie having a partner or a friend. So I get that, but I'm kind of surprised that even when I was doing Sundays, and I wanted to, if Shock was out. I'd be like, I'll do it by myself. They'd be like, nope. One time, they let me do it by myself. But they were pretty adamant about, nope, we don't allow solo stuff.
There was no regret in me doing it, but I'm not going to lie. I had Dell in for the second segment.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, I appreciated bouncing off things because I've done shows with Dell. It's more about doing shows with guys you've done shows with before. It's not even...
It's also that second voice, though. It's like you said, if you don't have a call-based show, if you don't, and we obviously get some calls, but we get the majority of our interactions through Twitter and text message. So it makes it more difficult because it's a delayed reaction if you want to throw something out there and you don't get a bunch of calls. You have to wait for the responses electronically. To have a producer or to have someone that comes in and at least fills in a little bit with you, that's what you need. It's refreshing, and it's also, it keeps the show moving because now right on time, quickly, and on with whatever point topic you're on, you can have a discussion, and that's what people in the car and around want to hear. They want to hear the point counterpoint. They want to think, you know, what do I think about all this? It's tough to do when you're not getting a boatload of calls.
Yeah, and I think I appreciate the – honestly, when I do solo shows, I don't take too many calls at all. Not that I don't want them. I just don't really call for them that much, but – I appreciate the fact that you can bounce something off somebody else that's calling you out and challenging you. Like, we appreciate that dynamic. We've gotten to heated discussions. People think we hate it. We actually welcome it. Oh, I like it, too. And that's what Dell would do. Dell, when he was on the air, he was making fun of my gift-giving. That's what you want to do. It keeps you at bay. It keeps you challenged. It keeps you sharp when you have someone else sometimes. It doesn't necessarily mean that going solo is bad.
Right.
It just means that, you know, having someone else.
And you know, and Barry's ability to keep me pissed off keeps me sharp. It works.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for being able to do that, though. So, my hat's off to you for being able to carry a show for 2 hours by yourself. That's not easy to do.
Right.
Right.
And that's why I think Charlie is who Charlie is, because he's so good at it. He's so good at doing a solo show. Not everyone can do that, and not everyone, I mean, a lot of people could do it. We could, all three of us could talk for 2 hours, but to make it engaging and interesting and something people would want to listen to for that time frame is a whole different thing. It's kind of like in comedy, we always talk about, somebody will say, like, I'll ask a newer comic, well, like, how much time do you have? Like, how long could you tell jokes for when I say time? How much time do you have? And they'll be like, oh, I have 15 minutes. There's a big difference between getting on stage and talking for 15 minutes and getting laughs for 15 minutes. There's a huge difference. And the same thing is true in radio. Anybody can talk for several hours. It's being engaging and interesting in that time frame.
That's where Charlie gets credit for diligent prep. Because when we prep, we just throw stories out there, and we're all three of us are contributing, and we know that, you know, we'll go over it at a certain point. Charlie's picking everything from the bump music that's going to be tied into what he's talking about, segment by segment, which segments are going to have this content, Astros, Rockets, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And it takes a lot more diligent prep when you know that there isn't that interaction. Or if we get on a hot topic that everybody wants to ride with, we can ride it out for a segment or two. He does massive prep for his shows because of the fact that he's a soloist.
And what makes it even more difficult, for not necessarily difficult, it's probably easy for someone like him, or easier, but he could have all this prep, have every segment, you know, scheduled to go, and he knows what he's going to talk about. And then something breaking happens in the middle of his show, and he adjusts on the fly. Yeah. And that's what we do. And that's a part of the, you know, the difficult nature of our business. But yeah, it was fun.
What do
we
got? 2.5 soloists? Because we've got him, we've got Creighton, who, for all intents and purposes, almost always works by himself.
Well, he worked with Nate.
He did
for a
work
long
with
time.
Nate, but I think become Creighton, more of a soloist.
Creighton does a good job as well.
Yep.
I mean, credit where credit is due.
Right.
He does a good job as well. And here's the difference. Like, if I were to talk crap about him, Dr. Dre on 290 and others will go snitching. But since I'm giving him compliments, that's not going to get back
They're
to
not going to snitch.
But, look, Joel, why are you making that face?
No, you're,
but, I mean, to be fair, Patrick Creighton is a really good solo show. He's really, and he was good with Nate. They were good as a team, but he's like one of the rare guys that can carry a show for several hours.
And it's
by
a
himself.
Different carry. With Charlie, he carries it with stats and relevant information and backup. Pat brings it with passion.
Volume.
Pat, well, that too, but Pat.
Oh, of info. I mean, I see but, what were you saying.
Yeah, but Pat will bring passion, which will ignite reaction from his audience. And then the third half soloist is another guy that used to work with is Cody. Because now Cody, because of the network stuff, has been more well-versed at being a soloist.
That's true.
As opposed to when he was with Lopez on 610.
I'm wondering if I should, Monday and Tuesday, we don't have a fill-in for you yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do one solo.
Give it a shot.
I'll just go tell AJ, hey, I'm going to do the show by myself. Okay. And what it will really be is me and Nick doing another show, but he'll have to produce it and talk.
So he'll have to.
That, you know what?
That
let's
means
be real.
He has to get up at 9.
Outside of guys like Charlie, though, I mean, a lot of times I hear solo shows. I mean, you were more interactive with Jose than normal. A lot of times guys tend to lean on the producer more as a second mic, even in a solo show.
Yep.
Matt Thomas did it really heavily with Ross. That's why Ross is now just a guy, like just a host, because he did it so much and their interactions were so good. I mean, even guys like Howard Stern, who was solo radio, he ended up with Robin and he ended up with all these characters.
Artie and Baba Booey.
Yeah, and it's a lot harder than people think it is to do something like that and not rely on a producer.
And,
so,
and you're talking about just mental and then the presentation, but you know what else it's harder on? It's harder on your vocal cords, because when you're talking that entire time, you can really, when you get done with a show, you feel like you've been screaming at a football game for like a couple hours.
I like the being able, I like having someone else because I like to mess with people.
I think you can pick on them.
Yeah, I think people like hearing that stuff. They like when you and I go back and forth. They like when the three of us go back and forth. They like hearing us mess with each other. That's the fun part of it. That's why I always liked John and Lance, because they messed with each other as much as they did radio. And that's why, I mean, I love Palillo. But I also like the interaction of somebody busting your balls for no reason right in the middle of a segment. I mean, that kind of stuff. I like doing that, too, because I think it can spawn some really great radio.
Yeah. Speaking of great things, I mean, you've got some things to talk about. New to the show, but some people might want to jump on board.
Right. I'm really excited to welcome Innovative Lasers to the show as a sponsor. They are... If you're looking to slim down and do it the easiest way possible... Innovative Lasers is the place to go. They have the Zorona laser. It's FDA approved. It's clinically proven. It's non-invasive. And it's basically like body contouring. Here's what I liken it to. I'm losing, basically they tell you you can lose a half pound to a pound every treatment, right? And so if you go three times a week, you do the math. But this is basically like the exercise portion of a diet and exercise program. You still got to eat well. You can't just shove mashed potatoes in your body and then expect to go to Innovative Lasers and them just laser it off. That's not how it works. But what it does is I don't have to work out and I'm losing weight. I actually slept today during my treatment and I'm melting fat off my body because that's how the laser works. Now, here's a couple of things. One, I saw it on Dr. Oz, and that was the big selling point for me, because you know when you go on Dr. Oz, he's going to vet things. He's going to make sure that this is legitimate stuff. And they were featured on Dr. Oz. And what I like about them versus their competitors will kill your fat cells. Well, that's great until you get older, you start gaining weight again, and all those fat cells that were dead are gone. So you start gaining weight in other areas, like you get man boobs and saddlebags, and nobody wants that. Lose weight effectively, lose weight cleanly. No, it doesn't hurt. There's no heat, there's no cold, there's nothing. It's you laying on a table, losing body fat. And it's amazing the results you're going to get. I'll tell you this. This is honest God's truth. I weighed in yesterday on my scale at the house at 204.4. I weighed in this morning, one day later, at 201.7. So this stuff is already working for me, and I want you guys to get involved right now. You can lose 3 to 11 inches in 2 weeks going to Innovative Lasers of Houston, and they've got a special for you guys right now. It's called their Transformation Package. And normally this package is $2,400, but for you ESPN listeners and suspects, it's half off. They'll throw in an additional 3 sessions free if you're one of the first 100 callers during this show. So call them, 281-888-3094, 281-888-3094, or check them out online, innovationlasersofhouston.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now, here we go. Segment number two of the show. Hopefully, you join us for the full 3 hours or whenever you're in and out of the car, office, or otherwise. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. You can reach us at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, or at the Nick Sciarra show, which is going to be coming to your airwaves soon. You can also reach the show and the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number, as I'm sure that there are plenty of topics to get to, like the Astros back on the field tonight, Texans getting ready for training camp. Anything else?
That's all I can think of.
Yeah, nothing other than that. Nah, no petty reactions or...
Huh? What do you... Nah. I don't know what you... What?
You know, I'm just an innocent bystander observing things as they go by. That's all I do.
Well, let's get into it.
So I watch Twitter. Okay. So where are you guys? Because you know that I'm going to be billed a hater regardless. So I'm just going to let you guys open up the floor. Obviously, we know by now James Harden didn't win MVP. We found out that he was not only not in the building, thanks to the comedian Nick, that we can actually probably get to that clip again. But I don't think he'll be working anytime shortly in the Toyota Center and or anywhere around certain NBA circles. But I thought it was funny.
Who was the comedian?
Nick, what was his name?
Hasan Minhaj.
Oh, yeah. Funny dude. So you watched the whole thing?
I did.
How's Shaq do?
Oh, my God. Jay Farrell?
Yeah.
One segment was Charles and Kenny saying Shaq is big time in us, so we found a replacement for him. And Jay Farrow did Shaq for a segment.
Good. Was it better than mine?
So good. It was close.
Thank
but he did the cross eyes.
Oh, really?
As well as the talk. And he even cracked himself up, and Charles cracked him up a few times. But it was really, really good.
Now, somebody said yesterday, and I didn't read it, look how wonky this
hey, ADD, no bird flying by with tinfoil right now. Focus.
Somebody said that, or somebody suggested yesterday, what would be the over-under on Shaq telling Barkley he doesn't have any rings? They said it at 5 minutes. And I was like, I think that's too quick, but I'm sure it'll happen at least once during the broadcast. Did it?
I was going to respond, fat jokes. I thought he'd go to Barkley fat jokes in a monologue quickly, and he did that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he made any ring jokes, but he was constantly on Chuck for weight.
Oh, of course.
Issues. He also
that's low hanging fruit though. That's not being very creative.
But it was really funny too about
actually it's probably more like low hanging gravy. I don't know.
Well, he also nice. And Nick did a great job of playing the audio on some of his monologue and stuff. But he had some great jokes about, you know, that the Lakers cut their balls off when they made the trade because they got rid of
Lonzo
and LeVar.
I see what they did.
But yeah, there was I thought there was some good things. I'm not sure Shaq carries a show as a host. Mm-mm. But I thought he did okay from time to time.
He has some good one-liners, like the housekeeping one. He's like,
yeah,
my wife's a good housekeeper. She kept the house in Orlando. She kept the house in Miami. Yeah. Like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was really good.
So are we giving credit to Shaq for those lines or his writers?
Someone wrote them for him, I'm sure.
For sure.
Somebody had for to sure. have wrote those. Oh, yeah, there's always, on a show like that, there's always a team of comedic writers. That, like, Huggins wrote for the Oscars 1 year.
Really?
I think it was the Oscars.
And then we also had a comedian that wrote for Saturday Night Live, if I'm not mistaken.
Tyshawn Shannon.
There you go.
I actually have comedians locally that help me write for the my Barry on Sports segment.
You told me that, yeah.
Yeah, I have three great comedians. Kanis Nana, Sun Tran, and Chris Rogers are all guys that write jokes for me every week, and we all collaborate and come up with the final script and monologue that I do. And so it's highly likely that a lot of that was written, including for Hasan, he probably had guys helping him write jokes as well. It's not as easy as you think. Just sit down and do something like that. So,
yeah, na na na,
Kanis na 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 na,
na 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 na. Okay,
but I did. He does have Shaq. That is has a his delivery kind of it helps. Like the yep, fact that he's yep. a big guy and he has good delivery. I mentioned on the show that he would be one of the guys that is not a comedian that I thought would do well, but you're right. He probably does have people writing for him. Because I felt like Mike Tyson was another one that did well. I'd be interested to know on that stand-up special if he actually wrote everything or he had people write for him.
I promise you he had people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got the comedian clip? Let's play that first because Barry didn't hear that. But the thing that I think the reason why I said what I did is because normally when you get people that do comedy or little blurbs on shows like this, the NBA is great until you start taking shots at them.
Yes.
He didn't hold back. He ran the gamut. And he even took shots at TNT saying things like, and I don't know, I don't think it's in our clip.
I don't
but
think
he,
so.
Yeah,
either.
He even said, in fact, I really feel good about, he's a Netflix show, but he's like, I really feel good about this because like 43 people are watching tonight. It's TNT. Nice. And I was like, that's not helping you, bro. But here's what he had to say about James Harden and more.
I just want to let everyone know I'm not Shams Charania, and I am not here to report a trade, okay?
That was good.
Everyone that's here is safe. You don't got to give me the dirty looks. No one is going to get traded. Except Kyle Korver. He's been traded six times tonight. But look at all these superstars here tonight, right? Look at them. Luka, Trey, Giannis. I was looking around for James Harden, but in classic playoff fashion, he didn't show up.
Nice.
But in the past 2 months, AD got traded, Zion went first, and LaMelo Ball got shipped to boarding school in Australia. I can say that joke. Neither of us will ever make the NBA. But... But defensive player of the year. Let's be real. When I say the word defensive, the first two things that come to mind are Kevin Durant's burner accounts or Shaq anytime you say the words Dwight Howard. Now, Charles, I'm like you, man. I love defense in the 90s. Elbows, hand checking, throwing people through plate glass windows. That was exciting.
That's outstanding. That's a team of writers behind that, by the way. 1,000%.
He's like, there's no way he did all that by
1,000%. That's a team of
But when he came out guns blazing like that,
he's
and
a funny
he was
guy.
Just
don't
annihilating everybody in his
that's
wake.
Great. Yeah.
It's great for him for that moment, but I just know how the NBA is. Because first of all, I'm sure Tad Brown was trying to get to his table or get backstage the minute he had the Harden joke, because that's the kind of thing that just gets their ire in like 2 seconds. But the
they
fact
they gotta calm down over there. If that's gonna upset
dude, this
them.
Is what we're gonna get into. Because you know what? It's not about hating. It's just about it's reality. It's honesty. It's the way they react to everything. Like Daryl Morey showed up last night with a Harden MVP T-shirt on under a blazer. Looked like he just got out from under a 59 overpass, and then went right away on the red carpet. Wanted everybody to believe everything he was saying, and the fact that they are the team to beat in the West next year.
I mean, was he going to come out and say, yeah, we have no shot?
No, he was. But basically what he was saying was, stop. I don't know why everybody's talking about us. There's nothing to talk about. Stop talking about us. We shouldn't be talked about right now. They just continually open their mouths and people are, and give people reasons to talk about them.
Yeah, I think the whole them being overly sensitive and like you said, Tad Brown trying to find the guy at the table. But you got to chill out. That dude was taking shots at everybody. That was one shot amongst many.
And he made a lot of people uncomfortable, though.
But at a show like that, that's exactly what you get when you hire a comedian. That's exactly what happens at these award shows. What he did last night was nothing groundbreaking or new. If you don't want that to happen and you don't want a comedian to make a bunch of jokes about superstars and celebrities, then don't have him on the award show.
Kudos to security, by the way. Because when they did announce Giannis as the MVP, they stopped Daryl Morey before he could Kanye West get on the stage, take the microphone, and tell the world who really should have won.
Giannis, I'm going to let you finish, but James Harden is the greatest MVP of all times.
Nice. You want to talk numbers? All right. Hey, we got more to talk about. We just got a half hour into the show. We got lots more. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 975.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. Boys, my last day. Some of you will be excited, like you, Barry.
No, I'm not saying yeah. I'm saying yeah, I'm excited that you get to go to Cali and do Disney and stuff.
Yeah, take Taylor to her first Disney.
Yeah.
And do all that. But
that's outstanding.
Excited to kind of just detox a little bit. But we've had a good run here lately, so, you know,
It's been a good time.
No doubt about it. So you are going with Jerome tomorrow, then Nick on Thursday.
Yep.
And then we're both out on Friday, so Toots and Stoots.
Or just Stoots.
Well, but
well,
Toots,
he's
Toots
producing,
is in.
Yeah.
But he'll, I told him, he's got to.
But it's the solo.
No, he's got, well, no, he's got to play hardenball. He just, once the show starts, he's just got to start dribbling. And
okay.
He can take it over for 19 seconds.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay, so let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it. Giannis won. I said all year long, I thought James deserved it. I thought it was James's award. I thought statistically and the way he carried his team that he should be the MVP. But I think when you see even the votes and the discrepancy between Giannis and James, you realize, and I wrote about it last night on Sports Map, because it's a popularity contest as much as anything else. And these national media members just were not going to give Harden his due. And I don't know if that's the unlikability factor coupled with he won it last year, coupled with the Cinderella story of Giannis and his tough, you know, upbringing in Greece, and he's playing in a small market. But for whatever reason, I did not think that the difference in numbers from first to second place would be as great as it was. It was over 150 votes. Or points, the way they do the point total.
Right.
But you know what? It happens. And James has got one. Look, for the last 5 years, he's been one of the
top
vote getters in all of basketball. That's saying something. I hear all these people saying, well, what do you want to give him credit for being the Buffalo Bills? No, because one, he won one. Right. Arguably, he should have won more than one. But the fact of the matter is, you can't argue with the fact, just from a numbers and individual performance standpoint, he put up one of the best five-year stretches of any player in NBA history.
He really has.
You know, you're putting up his numbers and his name with Chamberlain, Jordan, and Jabbar. That's crazy good. So I just, my big thing is, and before everybody gets off on me, it's not about me. It's about me being honest. And honestly, I didn't think the Rockets handled any of this very well.
Okay. Why so?
Start with the Twitter.
Okay.
Instead of tipping your cap to Giannis Antetokounmpo and saying, you know what? Congratulations to the MVP. You won. They basically tweeted out and said, we respectfully disagree, and here's why.
Well, they did say congrats. But it's like when you apologize, you go, hey, man, I'm sorry, but.
Right.
That's the same thing. They were like, hey, congrats, but we respectfully disagree. Now, again, it's kind of the same thing that I was saying about Daryl. At some point, you don't want you want your franchise to just be classy enough to come out and say, hey, congrats.
Right.
That's it. Leave it there and then down the road. But when you add the but, it's like, why do they feel the need to be so defensive? But then again, what do you want them to do? Not support their guy?
But there's a way to support their guy without detracting from what Giannis just did, is my point. My point is, like you said, one tweet, just the first tweet, as simple as can be, congrats to the MVP.
And now, did every team in the NBA say that? Did every team in the NBA do that? Because you don't even have to send that out, really.
I agree with you. That, you know what? Sometimes the best things, the best way to do things is, what was it, Thumper that said the best thing you can do is say nothing at all? If you don't have anything nice, in Bambi, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Don't even tweet it out. You know, just let it go. But if you're going to tweet, start the first one with congrats to Giannis Antetokounmpo for winning the MVP. And then if you want to, say our MVP in our minds and of our team is still this. That's fine. But the way it came across last night and everyone was jumping on it made them look really bad.
Agree. Let's
you're going to Thumper?
Let's put a pin in that. We'll come back.
If you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing.
Why you
got to
add the list?
Thumper has big teeth and he lifts.
Why? Now see, every time we do.
You love labeling me with that. Just so that people are going to jump on that. Now we're going to get that one guy with that one tweet going, I'm done. That's it.
Every time we do. Every
He's
time
on
we
probation.
Talk, every time we talk quotes, you add a lisp to the person.
No.
I don't know why you
if
gotta
do that. If
it's
Mike Tyson or Thumper, yes.
Or the kid
or
from,
the
Jerry,
kid from Jerry Maguire. Those three.
But yeah, I had no idea.
Shannon Sharp count?
I had no idea that was a Thumper quote.
Yes.
So the quote goes, Flower. I don't even know who the hell Flower is.
I don't either.
He can call me Flower if he wants. Thumper, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Is this your origin of the
is
quote?
Is this your origin? No.
Is this the origin of the quote?
No.
Is it really?
Like, that's where it came from.
No way. That had to exist before.
Oh, my mom used to use it all the time when we'd be calling each other names in the back alley. And she'd be like, guys, if we can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. Thumper said that. So I'm just letting you know.
Wow.
You're welcome.
I would just say it makes him look a little petty. I don't know if it's completely mean, but it does seem a little petty when they do that. And I don't know if other teams are doing that, where if they had a candidate that had a chance at winning the MVP and they come in short, that they would tweet something like that. But it just makes him look a little bit petty. I don't know who did that tweet. I would imagine it's Daryl, but I don't know.
Hey, I wasn't.
It was not. I verified that. It was not. Because okay. I had a conversation with the person there who did send it out, and he said, he texted me directly and said, did you have a problem with it? And I said, I did. And I told him why. And he goes, I understand it completely. He said, I literally just took it off the media guide. And obviously he had the support of the organization. But he goes, I understand that I'm catching a lot of flack for it. So he was honest with me.
Oh, okay. So is he catching a lot of flack for it? By the Rockets?
No, not by the Rockets. By everybody externally.
Yeah, why would they love everybody. The ones that wrote
he might get a raise. I won't say he'll get a raise, but he might get pats on the back from Daryl and Tad for that, for sure.
I don't understand why guys like Tad and Daryl feel the need to be so defensive about this team.
I agree.
Like you realize that there's a certain amount of criticism, fair or not, that you get when you're a basketball team, or you're the head of a basketball team, or you're the GM or whatever it is. You have to, I get it. It hurts. We all get it in this business.
Yep.
You and I get our fair share of criticism all the time.
Sure.
90% of it we let roll off our backs. 10% of it we react to and probably shouldn't, because we know that doing this job, this is what's going to happen. People are going to pick on you. They're going to say mean things about you. They're going to do mean things or dumb things or whatever. And most of the time you let it go. I just feel like they need to be better at taking the high road and maybe just not saying anything at all. And that goes for the Rockets across the board. You surprised me when you said that even PJ Tucker was acting petty about the defensive.
Yeah, he's getting killed on Twitter now too, because he took shots at Rudy Gobert for winning Defensive Player of the Year. And you know what? First and foremost, if Rudy didn't win it, Giannis was gonna. So you were third PJ at best. But again, take the high road. The overall concept, Barry, I think I'm getting at here is just it's a bad look across the board.
I agree.
If you want to go back to Game 7 and the 81-page report about why they lost Game 7, no, you know why you lost Game 7? You missed 27 threes and you missed all your shots.
Yeah.
Okay? And the other point to be made there was, you can go, if you did that for the other six games in the series, there were a couple close games you won where, you don't know, it could have flipped the script there with calls. So I had Dream versus Jordan, some big Kool-Aid drinker on Twitter that thought he was going to be all man and get in the middle of all this. And I was like, bro, if you want to have an honest discussion, we can. But I'm talking about the overall look. You've got the report there. You've got PJ with this. You've got how James has handled all of this. That's just not a good look. You've got them constantly bickering about the officials, both on the floor with Chris and James and otherwise, and off the floor with how many times they say they've sent tapes in and they're complaining. You know, all these other things. It's just, if you can,
here's the thing, though, to that point, a lot of teams complain about it.
Yeah.
They're just not as public in their complaints,
right.
And they don't come off as petty. Now, I don't know, maybe in San Francisco and Oakland radio, the Warriors are doing that, but it just seems like the Rockets are at the forefront of the petty wagon.
Of all,
like,
of them, right? That's a great call, petty wagon, yeah.
They're just like, hey, you're not going to win everything every time. Learn how to be a good loser. Learn how to be a gracious loser, especially when it comes to awards, because that means nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
I get it if you want to be upset about losing a championship, but these are awards that really don't mean anything except to you guys. Learn how to lose and win
absolutely.
Graciously.
And I'll give you another one. During the season, okay? And again, not the whole world is a Rockets fan. So during the season, ESPN does this thing where they say, caption this, and they put action photos of NBA plays. Well, it's one of Harden going to the basket and yelling as he's, you know, looks like there's contact made. And all these people are chiming in. And Tad Brown responds to that and sends, you know what that says to me? That said, you know what that caption should be? The beard carrying his team to another victory and helping to pay your salary for working at ESPN to do your job. It's like, why?
Yeesh.
I mean, you talk about your paddy wagon. It just pulled up with a stretcher and a gurney. Go, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's not good. I don't. You really want your team to kind of represent you and your city. in a way that you can be proud of, because that's part of why they wear Houston on the front of the jersey.
So just preach. That's, you're right on it.
And while I don't like, you know, you'll have a point about, well, Daryl was, you know, just given all the reasons why James should be MVP. Well, I expect that, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect him to do anything other than that. But there's a time and a place to do it, and you had plenty of times to do that throughout the season. But once you're at the award show, just be a gracious loser and point out that, hey, look, Giannis had a wonderful campaign and a wonderful season, and he deserves the accolades, and we're proud of what James did. There's a difference. You can say we're proud of the way that James did things that no one has ever done in the NBA and give some of those stats, but congrats to Giannis. He earned it. He deserves it. So you can make your point without looking petty.
Right. I think you make the perfect point, Barry. I think that's the most honest point that you can make, because what else are you going to do in a situation like that? You can still say, we think James Harden should be the MVP, but if you time it correctly, like not respond right after Giannis gets the MVP award, then it's okay. So as long as you, like, had they said a week ago, we think James Harden should be MVP, that's fine. And then they don't get it. And then a day or two later, they say, you know what, Harden, you know, congratulations to Giannis. I think Harden had an MVP-like season or something like that. I think that's okay. But to say we respectfully disagree, I think that's the petty part. That's why I think your point is perfect, is because you don't have to not or refrain from saying that Harden, you think that Harden should be the MVP. It's more about the timing. Just
wait.
Isn't
it also a given, guys? Isn't it also a given that we all know and you should expect that your guy should have won MVP? That's why he's your guy. He plays for your franchise. So like you said, Barry, I mean, if you didn't think that way, you probably shouldn't be working for the franchise.
Right.
But when you look at it, Nick, you're right. Leading up to the vote and leading up to the show, support the hell out of it.
Throughout the season.
So James won last year. Who was second last year?
Probably Russell.
Was it Russell or was it?
I'd have to look that up.
It was pretty much
a landslide last year.
Because you know what I'd
him.
Like to do? I'd like to go a year back on Twitter. If it was Russell, I'd like to go to last year's award ceremony and look at OKC's Twitter and see what they said and did. Were they as petty as the Rockets' Twitter was, or if it was Golden State or whoever it was? I'd like to do that. So I'm gonna look that up and let's just do a little.
Let's do that. That's cool.
Finalists for Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Harden.
Oh,
for the 2018
NBA. He won in a landslide. So either the Pelicans or the Lakers.
Okay. I got you, fam. No
was
worries.
Was it the Lakers, the Cavs? Cavs
with
2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, with LeBron.
Yeah, with James, it was LeBron James. Sorry, I'm using his last name.
Yes.
Yeah, it was the Cavs.
Okay, Cavs. Because here's the thing. Like I said, unfortunately, it's a popularity contest. And it gets down to the whole Harden likability thing again. When you look at it and you compare and you talk about it, and even the speeches last year, you go from the guy in the flamboyant swag suit with the sunglasses on the stage, kind of half-assing it with the trophy, to Giannis bawling his eyes out and humbly thanking. That's why people get drawn to the kid.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's why I just think if James uses this as motivation like he did after the Keeping Up with Kardashians year, he can really refocus and realize he can do more good by what he does with his teammates and others. As much as he makes himself a better player every year, he maybe can do more good if he just kind of sheds that onto other players around him and other people around him, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, you look that up. We'll keep going. If you guys want to join the discussion, you're more than welcome to. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, It comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Find Trex on shelves at the Home Depot and bring home the number one name in outdoor living.
Hey, guys, you want to be a champ in the bedroom? You want to be a superhero? Ladies, you want your man to step his game up? Check this out. Y'all need to go to BlueChew.com and grab the first chewable that has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. It can last longer. The other cool thing, you can be ready faster. Like on the old school stuff, you had to like plan your night around having sex. You had to eat an hour in advance. You had to take the pill on a full stomach, and so you had to give it another hour to work. None of that happens with the chewables from BlueChew.com. You can be ready in 20 minutes. You can take it on an empty stomach. So if you're in the mood and she's in the mood, you guys can get at it right away. BlueChew.com has the great chewables. They're tasteless, so it's easy to do. And you don't have to go to the doctor, so you're going to save money on that doctor visit as well. They have physicians online that can qualify you, and you can get your prescription online from them once they do qualify you. So check it out. It's great.
Barry, you're speaking the truth. I mean, the bottom line is when you look at this deal, it used to be things that happened in hours and all the waiting you had to do. Now it only takes a few minutes in every part of this deal, because the first thing is it just takes minutes to get to BlueChew.com. They'll hook you up with that affiliated physician that Barry's talking about. And then once you're qualified, you get prescribed online quickly, and it's all discreet. That means no waiting in a doctor's office where you're looking at everybody looking at you going, I know what that dude's here for. Nope, none of that. No awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And the best part about it is when they send it to you, it's discreetly done in packaging that no one will know what it is and what you got. But once you get it, boy, let me tell you, you are in for a fun time. It's no in-person doctor visits. It's none of that stuff that scares you away. It's all the stuff that wants you to play and play more. Just check out BlueChew.com. And like I said, they're prescribed by a doctor in the United States. So there's nothing to worry about in terms of the quality of the product or anything like that. And it gives you confidence every time in bed. You and your partner are going to love it. It's seriously as easy as chew it and do it. And the great deal for you guys, if you go to BlueChew.com right now, you get your first order free when you use the promo code SUSPECTS. Just $5 for shipping, and it's on its way. It's BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code SUSPECTS. And let's get it started.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I will say one thing, which I also tweeted out, which is the right way to lose. Trae Young lost to Luka Doncic last night, and Trae had a great year. But Trae took to Twitter to say basically congrats to Luka Doncic. Great run, great year. The best years are ahead of me kind of thing. But basically, I retweeted and said, now that's how you lose gracefully.
Right.
That's the way you handle these kind of things. And I think that's an even better message on a kid that in his first year in the NBA is mature enough to do something like that. That's when I get back to this likability factor.
Yep.
That's when these young kids coming in the league get a whole bunch of fans that aren't in their city to start following them and liking them and paying attention to them, because they're good dudes.
Agree. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted.
That's fine, because you're looking up that stuff.
Yep,
and
I'm
I said
a bit
to Nick, too, by the way, and I don't know how you guys feel about this out here listening, but what I'd like to see, too, to kind of explain my point on likability is if you did split screens between the last two MVPs, you got Harden in the crazy suit. I used to call it the moo suit because it looked kind of, until you really realize it, it's like suit. It looks like a suit that,
I like that.
Looks like a cow. He's got sunglasses on. He looks like he's just kind of along for the ride. And then you got Giannis crying his eyes out with a heartfelt speech, standing there by himself talking about his family. And you look at the two and you go, whether right or wrong, people that don't live in Houston, Texas see that and go, I love that kid. Yeah. And they look at James and go, that's why people, he bothers people.
Likeability is so important, especially huge in a city like Houston. And that, I don't say that lightly, and it's not a knock on the city, but let's be honest, we're kind of already working against it, considering the national media doesn't give us the respect. And I mean us as a city, not the team. And I've always said that. I've always said the national media doesn't give the city of Houston as a sports town enough respect. Whether it's warranted or not, that's a debate for another day. And so when you're not likable in a town where the national media doesn't want to give you that much attention, that's even worse. They're just going to magnify the negative part of your personality. And everybody has a flaw in whatever they do, whether it's their skill set or their personality. And this is not the city to be not likable in. I think this is one of the worst cities to be not likable in.
Ask y'all a question. When the Raptors came from two down and beat the Bucks, did Giannis stay on the court and shake hands? Wish everybody luck? Sure did.
Yep.
What'd James do? Bailed. Headed for the tunnel. Never shook hands. People called him out for that. Same way last night. When he knew he was going to win, and it was a landslide, which Barry is looking up in terms of how, but if we couldn't even think about who came in second, we knew he was going to win it hands down.
Right.
He was front row, main table, hamming it up the whole night, couldn't wait to get up there. When there was a chance he was going to lose last night, he not only wasn't front row, he wasn't in the building, and people didn't even realize that until the comedian called him out. But the fact of the matter was, you knew a month ago the probable results of this. But lose with the same class as the fun you had when you won. Be in the building, slap the guy on the back, and go, I'm coming for it again next year.
So I just did an exhaustive advanced search on Twitter.
Which you are fully capable of doing.
From the Pelicans, at Pelicans NBA account and at Cavs account, both the verified Twitter accounts for their respective franchises, said that find me any tweet that contains the word MVP between June 24th, 2018 and June 27th, 2018.
What was the date of the award show last year?
The 25th.
Year? Okay.
So the day before to 2 days after, because if it occurred on a Saturday, they may not tweet till Monday, whatever. We know that's not the case, but I just wanted to give a little window.
Sure.
Neither squad had a single tweet.
It's the best way to handle it if you're not going to say.
So if you're not going to say congrats, don't say anything at all.
Tell them, Thumper.
You know, if they don't have, no, I'm not doing
it. Why do you got a list? See, now you're going to do it. Now people
because
are
gonna
start
going off of what
people
you
are
said.
Stop listening to the show.
By the way, Nick cut me off. I wasn't done with Thumper quotes.
Nick, get that Thumper quote.
Eating greens is a special treat. It makes long ears and great big feet, but it sure is awful stuff to eat. That's a and truer words
every
have never
time Nick
been
comes
spoken.
In with one of those shakes. I'll play that one.
Is that his Thumper
quote?
Yeah,
with that green stuff.
That truer words have never been spoken by Thumper.
You gives say anything you, about long
gives
talk?
Gives you big feet. You know what that means?
Yeah. Gonna have to chew a lot of blue. You'll be chewing a lot of blue.
The silence was so awesome. Woo! We were both just like, I'm not gonna say it. You say it. I'm not saying it. You say it. That's outstanding. But yeah, no tweets from either squad during last year's MVP. Now, how much of that was them taking the high road, and how much of that was them just being Harden haters? Not a congratulations in the bunch there?
Yeah.
Now, I know you can't congratulate someone directly, but maybe I need to do an exhaustive MVP tweet this year and see how many congrats Giannis got from other squads.
That would be interesting, too, because, you know, the Rockets are hypersensitive to getting fined because they lead the league in all-time fines by owners, front office, personnel, et cetera. Oh, yeah. I mean, Tad and Daryl, and it used to be less, every time they did an interview on the air, the first call I had to make was make sure it didn't go on a podcast.
So now you said that they cannot mention the player by
That's
name.
What I'm saying. So just so the fans out there and the listeners know, the collective bargaining, much like when Magic Johnson got fined for talking about players on other teams in the past, at least from a Rockets perspective, they are hyper-concerned with the fact that that also translates to tweets. And if they were to use Giannis's name with a congratulatory tweet, they would be in limbo of being penalized by the league. And I don't agree with that, but I didn't know that until they told me that.
So that is true.
I don't know if it's verified by the league and I can check it, but I know that's why they didn't. They said that's why they didn't call him out by name.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look that up because this is going to take a lot longer to research that because then I'm going to have to list every single.
I will text
I'll know
Tim
before
Frank
the end,
at the NBA
okay.
to see if we can get an answer about if you can use the guy's name in a tweet or not.
I'll look
all right, before we get to all that, you guys know I'm getting ready to hit the road, and there's only one place to go to when you're looking for a hotel, whether it be for a family vacation or a business trip, besthotelrates.com. You go to besthotelrates.com, and they do all the dirty work for you because they've already negotiated deals with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they are great hotels. A lot of hotels maybe you've stayed at in the past, but you paid too much. A lot of them you've wanted to stay at, but you didn't know if you could afford it. Now it's all taken care of for you because of besthotelrates.com. All you do is go to the website, besthotelrates.com, put in your dates of travel and your city of destination, and they will list for you hotels that are available for you to choose from. You pick the hotel you want to stay at. They do the rest of the customer service and background work. That means it's going to be a safe and secure transaction and a safe and a secure stay, and they're going to make sure that it's a clean and great environment in the hotel that you choose. It's all done right there for you, and they are the middleman, so you don't have to be. It's as simple as going to the name itself, besthotelrates.com, and they take care of everything. Besthotelrates.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.